I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Today, I'm joined with Harrison Wise. He's the president at Wise Collective. Harrison, great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. You know, very much have been looking forward to having you on the show just because so many interesting perspectives that we could talk about today. But for everybody who's listening in, you know, Wise Collective is based in New York. They're really a full service integrated marketing and communications firm. They do a ton of stuff out there. They specialize especially in cannabis. They have their own digital properties. We'll talk about it today, but they also run thebluntness.com. And, you know, Harrison, you've been the president over there for 15 years, I think I read.
That's correct. 15 years.
That's a long time. 15 years. So maybe it'd be great to kick off the show and talk to us a little bit about really the evolution of the company. And I think also, you know, why cannabis? Why did you guys add that to your repertoire? And, you know, maybe talk about some of the things that you've been doing in the space.
Sounds good. I think, you know, you and I have similar trajectories. You know, our roots are in ad tech PR, specifically tech more broadly, going back 15 years. We were at the time known as Wise Public Relations, and we launched and scaled a number of ad tech companies back then. Tremor was a client of ours that we launched, and AdMeld, LiveRail, a bunch of others. That are history now. But yeah, we were pretty neck and neck in those days when you were doing the Buddy Media stuff. So it was an exciting time. So that's where we, that's where we started. We're originally a tech PR agency, ad tech martech specifically, and worked on that, and like I said, for a number of notable brands. And then as we started getting deeper and deeper into the tech industry more broadly, we were collaborating with SF New Tech at around in the 2015 timeframe, and they were partnered with Rabobank, which was the largest agricultural investment bank in the world. And they were launching a food innovation festival called Food Bites in San Francisco. And we were brought on to handle the PR for that. And that was kind of our foray or entry point into cannabis. And it was sort of a bit of a red herring, to be honest, as many things were in those days, since legalization was still Prop 64. A lot of things were still kind of underway at that time. We kind of, I think now, since cannabis has come so far in that period of time, we almost forget about the pains and struggles that the industry had even just 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Sure.
So it was just through that exercise of launching Food Bites first in San Francisco, then bringing it to New York and Colorado and what have you, that we were just coming into a lot of contact with folks that were in the cannabis industry. Like, because the Food Innovation Festival featured, cultivation technologies, automation, things like that, that are just now, pretty standard in the industry. But at the time, again, we're kind of just starting to make their place in the industry and how it could help the cannabis space grow. It was all under the disguise of food, right? Still the main focus was food, but there was this adjacent industry that was using a lot of the same types of innovations and technologies for extracting things, nutrients and other elements from food. Growing things faster, quicker, vertical farming, like all of that stuff was available at this Food Innovation Festival. So we were just coming in contact with a lot of folks that were kind of underground, early cannabis industry pioneers. And, so it was that exercise, that effort that we somehow got, I don't even remember the specific entry or intro to MedMen. And MedMen was actually our first cannabis client. And we were pretty instrumental in their launch and trajectory from about 2015 to 2018. And, you remember MedMen and Adam Bierman specifically was probably, single-handedly kicked open the door for cannabis in this country because he was on TV. We teed him up with a number of opportunities to really help to advocate and grab the mantle for mainstreaming cannabis at a time when most others on the corporate side, the Acreages of the world, they're buttoned up and they would not talk about it very openly yet until a lot of other things happened. But Adam Bierman was not afraid of that, and I think that was a very pivotal moment in the trajectory of cannabis legalization and decriminalization in this country. He grabbed that and ran with it. Whatever happened to the business, et cetera, I think is almost secondary to the fact that he was very vocal and openly in mainstream media when, at a time, you know, before others really were comfortable to do so. So that was our entry point. Well, it was a long-winded answer to your question as to how we got into cannabis. But I think it's an interesting story and it was worth highlighting.
And now, so when you guys are working on the cannabis side, is it really on the endemic side with the MSOs and the SSOs, or are you also working with, you know, a lot of the traditional brands out there that might be interested in kind of aligning themselves with the movement around the plant? I mean, I'm sure you've been very probably focused on this, but the last few years around 420 has been so pivotal. You know, you see brands like Ben & Jerry's and Adidas and TurboTax, like Shake Shack. I mean, some of these brands that you'd probably never think in a million years that they would do something for 420, but they are. But I don't know, is that something that you guys are currently aligning yourselves with as well, or is it strictly on the endemic side?
Both. You know, I think it's a very, you know, interesting point because I think that is the kind of full circle of that mission of helping to mainstream cannabis in those early days is to get us to this point in time where traditional mainstream brands, CPG, tech, whatever the category, are interested in targeting these consumers or at least aligning with brands and the community in interesting, novel and creative ways. So we've arrived. We can't be ignored anymore because, you know, it's a viable industry. It's growing. I've even written about this in a couple of articles on the Rolling Stone Culture Council about how, you know, traditional brands can tap into the cannabis zeitgeist right now in the community, and vice versa, how cannabis brands can cross over into more mainstream sponsorship opportunities, you know, with in mainstream sports and what have you. And that's growing and gaining in momentum, and even potentially college sports with the name, image, likeness changes that occurred recently. So there's a ton of opportunities in both directions, from cannabis brands going more mainstream and vice versa, mainstream brands coming into our universe and figuring out the best ways to align and co-brand and participate in all that we're doing. And I think it's great. It's great to be here. So we're exploring both sides of that. Absolutely.
Cool. And so let's talk a little bit about The Bluntness, which is a site that you guys kind of own and operate, correct?
Correct.
Give us the 411.
Sure. Well, and Jeff, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Easy is one thing. It is definitely not. Yeah. But we love what we do. But I think, you know, we are, to your point, unique in this aspect, in that, you know, we do have that, you know, distribution arm as well as part of our sort of overall offering here at Wise Collective. But, you know, The Bluntness, while it is owned and operated by us, it's an independent entity unto itself, and it has its own goals, mission, priorities, et cetera. So, but the idea was born out of the work we were doing with our clients on the agency side and the realization of all the challenges that our clients were having and just getting the word out beyond just the PR work we were doing for them or some just very early social media, you know, content generation and social media marketing initiatives that we were doing. You know, there were certainly the trade pubs, and those guys are great. They're all fantastic, and there's a place for them. You know, the Cannabis and Technology, the Cannabis Now magazines, the MJ Bizzes, right? There's definitely a place for that hardcore trade media. And then there was the other side of the coin, you know, the Vices of the world, the Civilides, you know, the Fresh Toast that were, you know, way on the other side of just, you know, either hip hop music culture connection or just like the culture. There was sort of, I felt, a missing media entity in the middle that kind of bridged these two universes of the hardcore trade and the hardcore culture side. There was something that I felt, you know, was missing in the middle that could kind of serve both of those masters, so to speak. And, you know, a good juxtaposition or inspiration for us at the time was Business Insider, right? They speak the language of like the millennial and Gen Z and what have you, but they also speak to Wall Street, right? They also have that ability to kind of cross both of those, you know, segments in a way that resonates. And that was kind of our early inspiration. And it's been born out over the last three and a half, four years. And I think now we're really starting to hit our stride and find our voice in a very meaningful way. You know, we're one of the fastest growing independent digital media companies now, and 360 lifestyle brands. we're exploring and examining and elevating, you know, cannabis and more psychedelic culture and the intersection of that culture with community and commerce. Because these are, it's a business, it's an industry, both from, you know, from all sides, and even medicinally, there's a very, you know, very real health benefits that both the plant and the psychedelics provide. And I'm, you know, just excited to be a part of it and document it, and again, be a part of that community, and just, you know, get that information out there to consumers who need that information so they can make better decisions and live a more healthy and balanced lifestyle. So, you know, we're really enjoying the work that we're doing on that side of things. We're, you know, seeing a lot of great interest in from brands, both cannabis endemic and traditional brands, in our content, and just doing really creative things, you know, with us in partnership. And it's an exciting place to be. And as a PR person, you know, I've always lived this for many years, right? We pitch media all the time. We understand how the media business works. We know what a good story is. So it wasn't that far of a stretch for us to kind of, you know, reach over onto the other side. And I think those lines were already blurring in general around the world, you know, in terms of those, you know, strong, you know, fortified walls between, you know, separation of church and state. Those lines have been blurred, you know, for the last decade plus. So we were just, you know, saw an opportunity. I think it's served us well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that you brought up, you know, the whole thing around psychedelics, just because, you know, it's a very interesting focus, at least today, not just, you know, from a, I'd say, public opinion standpoint, but also, you know, a lot of companies are starting to invest in psychedelics. You know, exactly. A lot of I'm an investor in a number of companies that are really, you know, treating traumatic brain injuries and, you know, people with mental health issues. And it's kind of weird because, you know, it's taken us so long, you know, at least on the cannabis side, to kind of overcome this stigma, which I think we finally across the country have overcome. We're at that sure. point where it's like, yeah, we don't really talk about the stigma anymore. A few years ago, obviously we did. And I think, you know, a topic that constantly comes up on this show is COVID really helped accelerate the acceptance of the plant because it was deemed essential. But I think on the psychedelic side, which is so interesting, is that there's so many people that it's almost like they just, it's not a deal. You know, it's like, they're like, hey, yeah, it's a plant, right? It's a fungus. It's just like, you know, it's helping people. So why not? And it's just now that it's being decriminalized in so many states, it's kind of like, it's almost like cannabis paved the way to it. Right. And I don't know. I've never seen anything like this before. I think stronger than cannabis, just the positive sentiment around the use cases, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And listen, I think at the end of the day, it's to everyone's benefit, you know, however we arrive at it. I think it's a net necessity. It's an important, you know, milestone and achievement, regardless of how it was born out. But certainly cannabis paved the way, right? All the hard work was done, you know, by those pioneers, those advocates, those policy, you know, makers and what have you. So absolutely, you know, it's a little bit of a shortcut, but as long as we arrive at that destination and there is a material benefit to folks who have mental health problems that can really, you know, use this medicine, you know, without any obstacles, then, you know, mission accomplished, right? You know, we got there. I think that's the most important thing to keep in mind, because people more and more need access to these things, you know, these treatments options and what have you. And, you know, I think we're a lot closer now because of the work and progress that we've made in the cannabis industry. And if it benefits psychedelics, you know, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Like I said, we're enjoying documenting it and you know, sharing those stories on the bluntness.
I don't know if you saw, it was a couple weeks ago, but there was an article in the Times, and the Times has been covering psychedelics like crazy.
Yes.
They did a whole story on Dr. Bronner's, the soap company.
Yep.
And how they're like, it was all about them backing, you know, efforts to loosen government restrictions. Which I thought was interesting, because it's like you see all these people coming out of the woodwork that you would never in a million years think, but are behind it, right? And obviously, I'm, you know, very, very close in the brand world, you know, the traditional brands, not just the, you know, the cannabis brands and the psychedelic brands, but like, So many people that I know and work with that I've worked with for 20 years, everyone's microdosing, it appears. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They are. It's not an appearance. They are.
Everybody is, you know, including myself. I'll add that in too. But you know, and I've gotten a lot of people to try it, and they're just, the reactions are just kind of interesting, because people are like, "Oh my God, I really like it because I don't lose control." You know, a lot of people have that thought in their head of, "Oh, if I take, you know, psychedelics, I'm not going to be able to function."
Right.
But the reality is, with a microdose, you're talking such a small micro, a dose, microdose, if you will, that like, it's just really helping you with your brain, right? And mm-hmm. I think exactly. That's kind of cool, that so many people have like a very positive sentiment around it. So, you know, I don't know. I feel like this is the year. This year, 2022, going into 2023, next year, I think we're going to see a lot of advancements, not just on medicine, but technology, you know, and just kind of a global mindset around, you know, making our health better through natural properties, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, without a doubt. And I think accessibility too is important. You know, I think you know, it might be a little while before MDMA and psilocybin kind of cross over that threshold, but, you know, ketamine is available. There's sites like Mindbloom that are just, again, making
every day.
Right. So, but making psychedelics accessible to people who may be put off to it or just aren't familiar with it. And, you know, they guide you through the process. Some people just take a handful of shrooms and they go wander and see what happens. You know, that's, right. It's hard to have that breakthrough in your mental health or wherever you're blocked, right? If you're doing it that way, you might anyway, but to have that accessibility and structure to the process and have someone walk you through, whether it's a guide or a clinician or whatever the setup is helpful. And certainly microdosing is a great way to start with anything. I know the cannabis industry preaches it too, but we still all hear those stories about, you know, the cookie or the brownie or took two gummies instead of one,
right.
The one gummy that's 100 milligrams, which I'm not sure why there's 100 milligram gummy.
Oh my God.
But anyway, but we all know those stories and people have bad experiences. So it still continues to kind of pull down. I mean, not pull down the whole industry, but those stories are still out there. And I think that start small, work your way up, and the same certainly will hold true for psychedelics. But like I said, the fact that it's becoming more accessible, and you know, there's an opportunity here for you know, folks to improve their own mental health and their outlook on life and things it's great. And even for creatives, I'm a creative. Using, you know, microdose psychedelics helps with that process too. When, you know, we need to kind of just get unstuck and mm-hmm. find a creative solution to our problems or just create something out of thin air. That's, I think that's the wonderful part about psychedelics and cannabis.
Totally. Well, Harrison, we almost were at 20 minutes already. But before we break, anything that you're really excited about for this year that you're working on?
Well, I think from the Bluntness perspective, we're really excited about our inaugural Bluntness 100 list, which is basically our list of the 100. And there's certainly far more than 100. I think the hardest part of that exercise was culling the list down to folks that we felt, you know, have or making an impact in the industry or have made an impact on the industry over the last several years or decades. But we're excited about that, and that'll be dropping over the next couple of weeks. So we're really excited about that on the Bluntness side of things in terms of, again, just showcasing the great people who are really doing wonderful things in this industry. And then on the agency side, just, you know, continuing to really work with great clients who across all the industries that we serve, which again are tech, cannabis, sports, media, and entertainment. And there's a lot of overlap and intersectionality that's surfacing across those verticals and those industries. And it's just exciting and to see how, I guess bold and brave a lot of our client brands are in terms of the work that they're doing and the trust that they put in us. So I'm just really looking forward to continuing to produce great work, deliver great results for our clients, and ultimately come out of this, you know, COVID, drag that we've been in for the last 2 years. So I'm also excited about that, getting back to conferences, Hall of Flowers, the Green Street Festival, and just all the other events that are on the horizon, and, you know, fill up the calendar again with just some great opportunities to connect with people that we haven't seen in a while. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Awesome. Well, Harrison, appreciate you coming on the show, and sharing your wisdom and, good luck out there, kind of wrapping up the first part of the year and, looking forward to seeing you around.
Great. I appreciate it, Jeff. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right, Harrison.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.